Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Sorry about yesterday. It was circumstances that I could not control. But I'm happy to be back this morning. And we're going to talk about something that we've talked about before. We're going to talk about MRSA, staph infections, the kind of things that I believe are particularly rampant in the state of Florida. Why, I'm not sure. And my understanding of MRSA, which I am certainly welcoming any input about it, is that it's like a mutated bacteria. It has fought to survive with all the antibiotics out there. When I was a little girl, penicillin was hands down the most aggressive, the most widely used antibiotic. And, of course, in years to come, there were many derivatives from penicillin. I, at a very young age, became allergic to penicillin because they used it so much on me. I was prone to swollen glands, strep throat, things like that. So penicillin was like, oh, sometimes once a month I would be on a prescription of penicillin. And then one morning, I think I was around 11, I woke up, I had been sick, I was home from school, and I broke out in hives all over. My face, my arms, my legs, my belly, everything was just covered in hives. And, of course, Mom ran me right back to the doctors, and the diagnosis was that I was having an allergic reaction to penicillin. Now, the strange part about that is you never get an opportunity to find out that's really what was wrong. I mean, I know now that I'm older that that could have been anything. I could have been having an allergic reaction to almost anything. However, the dangers implied by experimenting with something like penicillin was something my parents didn't even want to mess with. So neither did our family doctor. So they took me off penicillin, and for the years to come, I pretty much grew out of that by the time I was in my mid-teens. But after that happened, all I could ever take was terramycin and sulfur, mostly sulfur. So today, though, we have so many things out there. We have myosins and psyllins and this and that and the other thing. There's a million different antibiotics out there. And what I know today about antibiotics is not good. Antibiotics often cause yeast infections or candida. Antibiotics can cause also mood swings and things that have to do with our mental capacity. So, and you can become immune to them, just like what has happened with MRSA. So, in our travels over this past year, we have talked a couple different times, and we've read things about the different natural ways to kill infection. We know pretty much that garlic is amazing. I think I've told the story of the little older lady that fell out of bed at the Institute, and she was very, very, very tiny. And it was a high bed, and she fell onto a tile floor. And they called me in. It was very, very early in the morning, and I went in, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm so lucky she didn't break her hip, because she just plopped out of the bed and landed on her hip. And like I said, there was no meat on her bones. So I called Anna Maria, and she said, make a poultice of oil and garlic. The kitchen knows how to make it. This was in my very, very first year at the Institute. So I took the oil and garlic that the kids in the kitchen soaked for me, and I made a poultice out of hand towels, And I just sat with this lady for over an hour, putting fresh garlic and oil on her hip. And you have my word. She not only wasn't stiff, she didn't even get a bruise, which blew me away. So it got my attention at a very early time in my tenure at the Institute. Garlic and oil was used for many things. The bad part about garlic and oil is that you have to be careful if you're using it on open wounds, because often it's way too painful. So I'm going to bring in Shelley and our special guest this morning, Monica. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the more natural remedies that can actually bring people to a better place with infections and things like that. Hospitals right now are rampant with things like MRSA. And a few months ago, I told the story of my own daughter-in-law. And at our tenure at the Institute, we saw many, many horrible cases of MRSA. So, good morning, Shel. How are you?
Good morning, Rainey.
Everything all right?
Yeah. Am I still on mute? Hang on a second. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. I was tired from yesterday. We got a reprieve, so we got a couple more days to finish because we weren't finished yesterday. Now we got to paint the shop. So well, we should be finishing today. So I'm pretty sore. This has been a workout.
Well, you know, it's surprising once we get past a certain age. Diana, too, she's been working cleaning houses for some guy who's trying to sell a bunch of, like, little efficiencies and stuff. And she calls me on the phone. She goes, "Oh, my God, Mom, how do I get this clean? Oh, my God, Mom, how do I get that clean?" And she walked in the door last night, and she just about collapsed at my feet. So it is when you stop doing physical things and you don't have an exercise regimen, it takes a terrible toll on you.
In a row that I've been doing it, so it's not like just one shot out. I think it's cumulative also, and there's a lot of what I'm doing is upstairs. I'm going up and down flights of stairs, so it's all good. I mean, because I'm feeling muscles tone that I evidently haven't been accessing in a while. You know, but it's good. You know, we're getting a lot done that's coming out nicely, so it's a good feeling in that regard.
That's good. I'm going to welcome in Monica. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good, dear. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Is it freezing up there in the Carolinas?
Yes, it is. Yes, I wish I was down in Florida at this time of year, that's for sure.
Well, you know, we're due for a bit of a cold front. I woke up at 5 this morning and listened to the news because I like to know if anything happens that I should talk about on the air, so I always listen real early. And, of course, the biggest thing this morning, aside from the horrible shooting in New Mexico of two young kids by another young child, it was about our weather. So it is raining out this morning, and the temperature is dropping instead of raising this morning. And we're supposed to be down in the evening in the 40s. So that's cold for us for this time of year.
Especially when it happens instead of a week.
Yeah, we're supposed to have snow today.
It's 80 degrees in the beginning of the week and 40 at the end. When it plummets that quickly, our bodies just don't have time to acclimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's snowing there, Monica, is that what you said?
It's going to be starting early this afternoon. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, and you probably kind of get snowed in, don't you?
If it gets bad enough, yeah, because we're up on the mountain. We cannot get up our driveway. So
I'm sure that's true.
Hopefully
I've been there.
Hopefully it won't get that bad.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary mountain. I mean, you guys probably aren't scared by it because you drive it every day, but I wasn't. One of the years that we stopped to visit with my family, I had a rather large SUV that I rented, and My husband says, are you going to drive up this and back down it? You can do it if you want to. So it's a little intimidating if you're not accustomed to it. I wouldn't even venture to try it in the snow. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can be scary.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. And, of course, our friends in upstate New York are still dealing with the flooding and all of that kind of stuff. So, of course, my husband always tells me it's global warming. I've been telling you for years this was going to happen. Everything gets all flu-y. So I guess he was right. I so hate having to tell him that every now and then, that he's right about something, you know. So today, most of you who listen on a regular basis know that Monica was with us last week, and we talked about sleep aids, and we talked about anxiety, and we talked about some of the things that go with lack of sleep, which we've talked about before on the show. So when I asked Monica to be a regular on the show, we talked about some of the other things that she could speak to. And one of the things that is a major issue, and I don't know about other states, because when I look it up, it just gives me what I already know, that it's a mutated bacteria, and that it's hard for antibiotics to kill it, and many times it runs rampant in hospitals. And even though I don't remember who I was talking to, they said to me, you know, there's antibacterial soap at the entrance of every hallway. Every hospital employee is told to wear gloves. Well, let me tell you, those kind of rules are only as good as the people that are supposed to be using them. So we need to put that out there from the very get-go. I think maybe it could be kept under some kind of control. But I know for a fact that people get released from the hospital with MRSA that is incredibly contagious and are, you know, walk into public places, you leave the hospital, you have to go and stop and get your prescription filled, you have to go into the store, you have to do this, you have to do that. So it's not as handled really the way it needs to be handled. But the point is, the thing that I really want to talk about today, and I don't know if Monica has any real answers, so I don't want to put her on the spot, but I do believe there are some avenues that are a lot more natural, that have a lot better outcome than hordes of antibiotics. I'm going to open up that door for you, Monica, and of course Shelley is pretty well versed in this as well, so hopefully we can have a good discussion about this. Do you want to mention some of the things that you told me when we talked that you had some ideas and some techniques that will help with infection like that, staph infection?
Right. And I have two things that I know for sure work, and if you happen to pick up a staph infection, or sometimes they're called a boil, an open sore. One thing I did happen to have a MRSA. I never went to the doctor for it, and it's very, very painful, especially mm-hmm. If you happen to get it where the sun doesn't shine, because then you have a hard time walking and hard time sitting down. You're in so much pain. And the first time it happened to me, I didn't know what the heck it was, but all I knew is that it was very painful. And it took about 3 weeks to finally come to a head, break open. It went away after that, only to return about a week later because I didn't do anything for it at that point. except get online and try and find some natural things, which all they said is hot compresses, warm bath, things like this, which I did, which made it come back. It went away, receded back into the body, whatever, the bacteria is still floating around, so it comes out someplace else, which it did. And all that time, that's when I started doing some research on it. And the second time that it, I felt just a slight feeling of it coming back, and I knew immediately what it was. So I started taking my turmeric capsules, which I make myself, excuse me, I make myself using turmeric, coconut oil, and black pepper. And I cook that in a saucepan on the stove, warm it up, make a paste. You have to cook it for about 8 minutes to get rid of the bitterness. And then I put it in capsules, only because I don't like the flavor of turmeric. The black pepper that I include in this recipe makes it 1,000% more effective. Anyway, I took, at the first signs of the boil coming back, I took 6 capsules, which is about a tablespoon, 3 times a day. I did that the first day, the second day, by the third morning, it was gone. It never fully came out to be a full-blown MRSA infection. So that's what I know really works. And I happened to look it up last night, and a lot of other people in the alternative therapies have said the same thing. Turmeric works to kill MRSA.
Yeah, we're big believers in turmeric because we know the worth of it for joint pain, problems with your bowel movements, all those kind of things. Turmeric is amazing. Now, I'm confused with something. If you take turmeric, coconut oil, and black pepper, and you cook it on the stove, right? That's what you said to do, right? In a saucepan?
Right.
Okay. And it must make like a paste or something, doesn't it?
It does.
Put it in form?
How do I put it in what?
In capsule form.
I have a little machine that I got from Amazon, and I can load in 24 capsules at a time, and I just spread the turmeric paste on top of the machine, and it goes into the capsule, and then I put the capsule tops on and do it like that. Now, most people, unless they're seriously into homemade remedies like I am, they're not going to have or buy a capsule maker. And but there is another way, and it's thousands of years old, and it's called turmeric milk. And you do the same thing. You make the paste with I found another recipe last night for making a turmeric paste. But see, a lot of people don't know that turmeric needs a lipid or an oil to make it more bioavailable to the body. You can't just take turmeric and put it in water. You might get some benefit, but when you combine it with an oil like coconut oil or almond oil, it's going to be so much more effective. And that's why, and it must be cooked for at least 8 minutes. And like I said, the black pepper, the constituent in black pepper is called piperine, and that's what makes it 1,000 times more effective. And that's why it worked for me. But there is such a thing as turmeric milk developed in Middle Eastern countries. They've been drinking it every day of their lives. And you just make the turmeric paste and put it in milk. Organic milk is best. Raw milk would be amazingly better. And a little raw honey to taste. And drink it 3 times a day.
Let me ask you something. Couldn't you grind up turmeric and soak it like we do almonds and things like that to make almond milk? Couldn't you soak it in a good water and leave it refrigerated until it made some kind of a milk, or that wouldn't work with turmeric?
I don't believe that it works. You can definitely grind it up. I buy it in bulk, organic turmeric. You can buy it in bulk or grind it up yourself and have this turmeric paste, which is a 1/4 cup of turmeric and 1/2 cup of water. That's your paste. And you cook that over medium-high heat for 8 minutes until it's thickened. It'll get very thick. And you stir it often, you know, so it doesn't burn. And then you store it in a glass jar in your refrigerator for about 1 month to 6 weeks. Then you could take a teaspoon of that paste anytime you want it and warm it with a cup of milk on the stove, never in a microwave, and then add some raw honey to taste and a dash of black pepper, and then drink it. But you could always have that turmeric available to make the paste.
Monica, what about something like cayenne pepper instead of black pepper? I know that black pepper is an antioxidant, but I've also read studies where black pepper, for people that already have issues, is damaging to the liver.
Well, I've never read that. And the thing about black pepper is it has the piperine in it. I don't know if, I don't think cayenne has it, but it certainly couldn't hurt you, you know, to put the cayenne in there. Cayenne is great for heart issues also.
I use cayenne all the time because I have a heart condition, and it definitely helps. It helps with a lot of different things. I use cayenne not only because I like it as a seasoning, but I also use medicinally if I have a sore throat or things like that. It's really very powerful. It's actually, people think it's funny because cayenne, you know, it can be painful if you overuse it, but it's also a natural anesthetic. And if you have a very bad sore throat and you garlic with cayenne, it actually helps.
Well, let me mention this. Years ago, again, at the Institute, a man is at the pool and stubs his big toe and takes off the tip of his big toe on the concrete up at the pool. And again, I call Anna Marie at home because it's early in the morning. This is in my beginning years. And she said, go get cayenne from the kitchen and pour it on it. And I said, what do you want me to do, send him into shock? And she said, it won't do that, Renee. Just pour some on it. It'll coagulate. It'll heal it. So I did it because it was her place and I trusted her, you know. And I poured a thimble full on the top of this man's toe. And I said, I don't know whether this is going to hurt or not. And he said, well, do it. He said, because nothing could hurt more than it hurts right now. So I did it. And his toe was healed enough for him to go in the water the next day.
Yep. Yep.
It blew me away.
Yep. Yeah, it's phenomenal both internally and externally. Cayenne has a lot of medicinal purposes.
So what would
it does?
So
one,
you're
one time
using cayenne with the turmeric and the coconut oil in lieu of black pepper, was that we could try it, or that you don't recommend that? What did you say about that, Monica?
I'm sorry. What was that? You faded out for a second.
Okay. I said your answer to what Shelley said about using cayenne instead of the black pepper because of the piperine.
I would say go ahead. The major constituent there is the turmeric. I mean, according to what I used was the black pepper, and that mm-hmm. worked for the issue that I had. But turmeric is the biggest thing. And if you can get that down, you know, by putting it in the milk, because it must have a fat. It must have a saturated fat to go down with, and that's why I combined it with some coconut oil. But if you use milk, there's, you know, your fat. So
right.
It should work.
Well, we're not big proponents of using whole milk or even fat-free milk or anything. Most of us drink almond milk. And
but that's fine, too. Coconut milk would be
almond
better
milk.
Because of the lauric acid.
Right. Okay. Okay, so I have another question about this paste. If I were to cook the turmeric, the coconut oil, the black pepper, and make a paste, why couldn't I use that paste like you use Ixamol or one of those kind of salves that pull a boil out?
You can. You definitely can. But the only thing about the turmeric is, of course, it's yellow, and it'll stain yellow for a long time. So if it's in an inconspicuous place, then cover it with gauze, and then I would take a piece of saran wrap and put it over the top of that to maintain the heat and to keep it moist.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one more surefire method to pack into a MRSA sore that will kill it. Cure it. Kill the MRSA bacteria and cure it.
Okay,
that
what's
would
that
be
one?
Manuka honey. Have you ever heard of Manuka honey?
No.
I actually have, but I've heard of it, but I'm not sure what it is. But the term sounds familiar to me.
Okay, Manuka honey is from New Zealand and Australia, and it's Manuka is a tree in New Zealand, and it's related to tea tree, Melaleuca.
Ah.
Oh.
So the honey is produced from the plant's pollen, and it has powerful antibacterial, antifungal, and antimicrobial constituents in the honey itself, so that if you were to take this Manuka honey and pack it into a MRSA sore or a boil, it should be gone within 2 days. It doesn't, if you catch it fast enough, it doesn't even raise up into an actual boil to burst. And that's where the pain comes from, because there's so much pressure there.
Right.
Where do we find Manuka honey, honey?
Where do you get the honey? The best source, first of all, there are several grades of Manuka honey. You have to get the highest grade that you can find, and it's called a UMF of 10% or more. UMF means unique Manuka factor, and it's a way to rate the potency of the antibacterial. Okay, so I did find a source. It's at Vitacost, which you can get. It's an online drugstore, supplement store. And their Manuka honey is $18 for a 12 or 14 ounce jar. I wrote it down here. Oh, it's called Raw Manuka Honey High Active 15 Plus. That 15 Plus refers to that
UMF rating.
UMF I was talking about, you know, the UMF, Unique Manuka Factor.
Did you ever check
it's $18. Pardon me?
Because I buy some supplements through Amazon, and I've seen VitaCost come up. I'm wondering if Amazon might sell this.
They could.
Because I recognize the company name.
Pardon me?
I said I recognize the company name VitaCost. I believe it's come up when I've done a search for some of the supplements I buy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the brand name of this honey is YS Eco B Farm Raw Manuka Honey. It's 12 ounces for $18.49. Now, that's a fantastic price because at Whole Foods, I've seen their raw Manuka honey for a little bitty jar, $35.
Oh, yeah. I love Whole Foods, but that's why I started checking on Amazon because except supplement, most of what I get is considerably more cost-effective on Amazon, and it's the same brand, same efficacy and everything. But, you know, and I'm a big supporter of Whole Foods. I love shopping there. But, yeah, the supplements are definitely higher than if you can get it at Amazon or direct from the distributor.
Right. I have a friend. Yeah, I have a friend who calls Whole Food Whole Wallet.
Yes.
A whole paycheck.
Yes, exactly.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, she calls it either Whole Wallet or Whole Paycheck. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. So that's good information. So I have a couple other pertinent questions about the boils. I have a grandchild who is very prevalent to little bouts of infection. When he was very, very young, teenager, he got cystic acne. And it runs in his family, both sides. My second son, Michael, had it when he was a teenager. And my grandson's uncle on his other side had it as well. So I, after doing everything natural that I could get anybody to do for me, and that's when I worked at the Institute. So I had the esthetician working with me. I had a doctor helping me. I had all kinds of people doing things, and nothing, I mean nothing, kept this under arrest. And this kid hurt horrible because they're all over his face, down his neck, down his back, down his chest. He still has horrific scars from it. And even today, well, I ended up putting him on Accutane until he started, I could see a difference in his behavior. I will probably never forget that. I said something to him, and he turned around crying hysterically to me about something. And I looked at him, and I said, okay, no more Accutane. And he goes, what are you talking about? I have to take it because otherwise I get – and I said, no, we'll think of something else. So after like 6 months of Accutane, we took him off of it. And eventually, I think more than anything else, more than any of the other things that I did with him, any of the scrubs or the paste or anything, even laser treatments that I got done for him from a doctor friend, I think he more or less grew out of it. But now, any little thing, he gets an infection, and it usually comes in the form of a boil or an abscess of some kind. So if I was to make this paste and keep this in a glass jar in the refrigerator, could I use, plus that here in Florida you get spider bites, and spider bites can almost always, you can almost be guaranteed of something very similar from a spider bite. So if I were to make a paste like this and keep it in my refrigerator, first of all, it would last a long time. Is that true?
About 6 weeks. You're talking about the turmeric paste?
Yes, but how? After yes. I let it sit in the refrigerator, would it last me a long time if I made, you know, a small jar of it to use for just medicinal purposes to put on somebody when I think they're going to get a boil?
Yes, you can. It lasts about 6 weeks in the refrigerator, but this is an internal thing. This will cure internally. Get rid of the bacteria that's floating around the bloodstream, okay, for the turmeric. Now, for a two-pronged approach, I would say do the turmeric milk and get the Manuka honey for the application on the outside.
Okay.
Because
okay.
it also cures hornet stings, spider bites, all that. It works in a different manner than if you were to take some raw honey that you got from your local farmer in this country. It's much more powerful. It produces an action of converting to a hydrogen peroxide when it gets into the sore, but it does not burn a person.
Wow.
And regular honey can only work to do, it does the same hydrogen peroxide thing, but it can only work when it meets up with the bodily fluids that are being seeped out of the sore. Manuka honey doesn't do that. It doesn't need any oxygen or bodily fluids to mix with for it to go to work and immediately kill the fibrin. This bacteria covers itself in a fibrin tissue or a fibrin shield so that nothing gets to it. That's why more and more antibiotics will not work to kill it. It just eats it up and spits it out. You know, but the Manuka honey kills the fibrin shield and then kills the bacteria.
Hmm.
That's how this works, the Manuka.
Okay, well, because I'm thinking, sitting here thinking of like a million different things that happened, I want to say a year ago here. I had AJ got bit by a spider right on the inside of his little thigh. I knew about hot packs. I knew about baking soda. I knew about sea salt. I did all the things. I knew about oil and garlic. I knew about all the different things that we used before. Nothing, and I mean nothing, helped me. So this is like magical, especially here in Florida. Because you never know what a kid's going to get into here in Florida. You really don't. Even when I was a kid, I remember Barbara and I got several different infections and got put on 2 weeks sometimes of antibiotics.
Wow.
And I swear today that's the reason why I have some of the problems I have is because of all the antibiotics, because that was the way you went.
Well, that's
exactly
what my history is. That's what I used to lecture about at Hippocrates when I was sick for 30 years. It's because at 6 years old, I had a heart infection called myocarditis that I almost died from, and I was in an outpatient clinic for 6 months, and during that 6 months, they megadosed me on cardiac meds and antibiotics. I became fatally allergic to penicillin. I broke out in egg-shaped welts all over my body. I was like in horrendous pain. My mother freaked out, and this is when doctors made house calls. The doctor came to the house, saw these welts, I mean, everywhere all over. I must have had 40 of them on my body, and they were hard to the touch. And she said, oh, my God, and they had to take me off the penicillin. They put me on something else. So they kept me on antibiotics but took me off the penicillin. And then once
That's
I recovered from
me,
the myocarditis with a permanent heart condition because it did damage my heart, then for the next 30 years, I had literally no immunity, and they kept me on antibiotics. So I was on antibiotics on and off for almost 30 years. I couldn't take penicillin. Then I became allergic to, tetramycin, all the myosins. What started happening if I took tetracycline or tetramycin is that I would start to convulse. I would lose all my body temperature. My body would get ice cold. If you touched me, you thought you were touching a corpse. I would lose all my body temp, and it would take about 3 hours, and then I would go into convulsions. And this happened a half a dozen times, so they just stopped. Then I became allergic to all antibiotics after 30 years. For about a decade, I was on erythromycin. It was the only one I could take, a form called ERYC, E-R-Y-C. It's the only antibiotic they could keep me on. I couldn't take any others. And then after 30 years, I just stopped taking antibiotics, and I started. This is when the doctors told me I only had a couple of years left to live. There was nothing they could do for me. I had too many active diseases. You know, at that time I had 12 active conditions, including Lyme's disease, and so I couldn't take antibiotics anymore, and it had literally disabled my immune system for all those decades. That's why I kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and I got double pneumonia. I had 103 fever and 102, 103 fever for like 4 days. I wasn't getting over it. So I called my naturopath and I said, look, I can't take antibiotics, but how do I recover from this? My body's not fighting it. And he gave me homeopathic stuff. He had me taking golden seal root and something called quercetin, which has bromelain in it, quercetin and vitamin C, but natural vitamin C. And it's supposed to clear the lung activity and all that. Within 48 hours of taking the golden seal root, the quercetin, and there was something else he gave me for lung function, and then he was having me take pellets that are for the flu. And I forgot the name of them because I only took them that one time. But there's actually pellets you can put under your tongue that are specifically for flu, for the fever, and but they don't artificially drive the fever down, you know. And within 48 hours, I had recovered from this pneumonia that was just whomping me, you know, with a high fever and all that. So that was my first experience of not using antibiotics and actually recovering more thoroughly, more quickly, and without any side effects. And then, a couple years later, I got attacked by one of our rescue dogs. He wasn't trying to attack me. The two dogs were arguing. I got a dog bite that went through my palm, actually, you know, through the palm out the top of my hand, punctured my hand in two different directions with his two fang teeth. And I did not go to the hospital, did not take antibiotics, did not even take painkillers, did everything homeopathically, and my hand healed completely. Inside, I think it took 3 months to heal completely, but within 6 weeks I had full use of the hand, although it was still a little sore, but I did not have 1 day of infection without using antibiotics.
Yeah, well, I think we really, you know, we really get that using quality remedies is the way to go. I think that... no matter what we do, we have to use things that are going to be beneficial to our body on the whole instead of just killing one particular problem and creating all the other problems in the rest of our body. I think all three of us get that. And I want to say a good majority of the people out there today are getting that.
Just to inform people that are listening, the reason for that is that the majority of the immune system resides in our resides in the intestinal tract, and when you take antibiotics, now they used to be all broad spectrum. Even if you take an antibiotic that's a specific antibiotic for something, it's still upsetting the natural flora, and this is what's called the natural flora in your intestines. Mm-hmm. And when that goes out of balance, you're actually disabling your immune system. That's what happened to me. Because I find it ironic that while I'm on antibiotics, if I got a simple little scratch on my arm, it would become swollen and infected for weeks. Now I'm on antibiotics. I had no resistance. I did not have good recovery. If I got any injuries, it took me weeks or months to heal from them. I stopped taking antibiotics, and literally within a couple of months, I got a scratch on my arm, because I remember it to this day because I was so shocked, and it healed like in 48 hours. It was completely gone. It never happened to me. So it proved it to me that, you know, antibiotics, unless you take them, you have a raging infection, you take them to help you, which I know some people do, but, you know, to do the whole, like, you got to take it for 10 days and all this, that's just nonsense. And there's so many other things that are so much more effective and don't mess with the flora in the intestines. So what you're doing is you're working in concert with the immune system. You're not doing something that disables it. I look at antibiotics the same way I look at chemo. You know, it kills some of the bacteria,
well,
but it also takes a lot of the healthy bacteria that is actually symbiotic to your body.
Well, it's certainly very similar, that's for sure. One of the things, though, that I want to get straight while we're on this particular show, because I'm a little bit confused, I have to assume there are other people that are a little bit confused. So I want to make sure, and I'm going to utilize this information, because like I said, I have two kids in this house that this is a major problem for. So, and I'm a big believer in turmeric, so that sold me the minute you started talking about turmeric. I think turmeric is one of God's creations that is amazing.
and medicinal. And I also have always believed in honey. I used honey. I mentioned this before you joined the show, Monica. My little dog got in trouble, and they arrested him, sent him to the pound for 8 days. And he's like a member of the family, and his name is Chewbacca, and he came home so incredibly ill that I thought he was going to die. And he had kennel cough, for one thing. So with the kennel cough, first of all, I tried a little bit of tea tree oil in water. Didn't like it, wouldn't drink it. Then I spray him with tea tree oil to work topically because of fleas and ticks and all that kind of stuff too, but I was rubbing it in his skin. They told me I couldn't give him a bath because he also got fixed while he was at the animal care and control. So, but he was so sick and coughing and coughing and coughing. So I bought raw honey and I was putting it on a teaspoon. In the beginning, he wouldn't touch it. So I had to, like, force feed him a couple bites of it. And then I put it in warm water and dissolved it in warm water, and he would drink it like that. And, I mean, I used all those kind of things, and they all helped. So I'm a big believer in things like honey. Years ago, when my son Michael got hurt and his throat closed up and he had granules on his vocal cords and a music instructor, a singing teacher, actually, she was, came into where I was working, and Michael would come to work with me and sit. He was like 13, and I didn't want him by himself, and I had to work. She said, "What's going on?" I told her, she says, "Oh, give him honey, and if you can get organic honey, even better." This was in 1982, by the way, and she said, "We give this to professional singers to calm their vocal cords." So I have always used honey for things like that. So, but what I want to get straight today is if I get Manuka honey, if I find it online, I can probably find it at, what was the name you said, Vitacost?
Exactly. Vitacost has the best price.
Okay, V-I-T-A-C-O-S-T. Okay.
And the other thing, like I said, it's $18.49, whatever it is, and if you're a first-time customer to Vitacost, you get a $10 discount. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And that's
I have bought from Vitacost before.
Okay. That's the best thing to buy topically for the boils, mm-hmm. for any kind of infection like that. What if it's an open infection already? Is that still going to be better?
If it's open, yes, you would definitely put the Manuka honey in on top into any open infection. These boils, when they do break through, or if hopefully you catch it beforehand, but you can pack the Manuka honey into an open sore. Cover it with some gauze, or if you have access to plantain leaves, which you can find in your yard, and cover that, put that on top of your open sore, and then a piece of gauze, a piece of saran wrap to keep everything moist,
mm-hmm.
and you will be amazed within 24 hours that open sore is closed up.
How do you feel about
eat the Manuka honey. Pardon me?
I was just going to ask you that. I was going to say because, you know, ever since Big Spike got sick, he's had a real problem with his voice. And I got honey, and he won't take it. I warm it and give him a teaspoon of it. If I do it, he'll do it. But to, like, do it on his own is like, you know, he's like my biggest child, of course. But how do you feel about the Manuka honey for, like, you know, for like what I just said I did with Mike? He could have a teaspoon of that.
Oh, definitely.
And, okay.
Yeah, definitely. Raw honey is the best. And if you can get raw honey, and there's so many farmers, people who have hives, and they'll sell their raw honey. First of all, if you eat that, your allergies will go down immensely because you're taking minute pieces or minute amounts of the pollen that's flying around in the air around you. So you're going to get
rid of
your
allergies. So you're building up an immunity. Wow, yeah, you're
exactly.
Right. Well, that makes so much sense, Monica.
Exactly. So it's got to be raw honey and local honey to help you. And also what I use my raw local honey for is anytime you have a scratchy throat, a cough, a tablespoon of raw honey, put that in a little bowl and mix in about a half a teaspoon of organic Ceylon cinnamon and eat it. And it's like candy. I mean, it tastes wonderful.
Wow.
As soon as you get that down, your throat is going to feel so much better. And if you do it a couple of times a day, it's going to be gone. Absolutely. This stuff is like magic. If more people would eat the honey, you could do a lot of other things with honey. I steep raw organic garlic in my raw honey. And when you have a cold, you just eat some garlic and you're getting the raw honey, you know. Or you could
mm-hmm.
put that raw honey that has the garlic flavoring in it on a topical scratch, infection, whatever. Raw honey is going to work very good for you. But the Manuka honey is like, you know, out the
even
door.
Better.
That mm-hmm. stuff is amazing.
Are we spelling Manuka? Spelling Manuka? M-A-N-U-C-A?
U-K-A.
U-K-A. Okay.
Right, Manuka.
Because
okay.
I used Iximal a short while ago.
So
I didn't even know how I got it. I don't know if it was a spider bite or what, but I ended up having a very large boil on my thigh, and it was incredibly painful. And nothing, all the normal stuff I used didn't make it go away. So out of desperation, because it was really deep in the muscle, and there was a pinprick on the top, so that's why I think it was from a spider bite. But it was so deep in my thigh muscle, and I was trying to bring it to the surface because it was painful. And my sister had given me Iximal, which I had heard of, but I'd never used it. Well, this wasn't all natural Iximal, so it had a petroleum base, and I'm very sensitive to petroleum anyway. I don't use petroleum products. I actually get a Vaseline product. It's called Unpetroleum Jelly. It's made with beeswax, and it's so much more effective and safer for the body. But at any rate, so I used this Iximal. And I got to admit, within an hour of using it, I felt like I had the flu. I was actually getting chills. My throat hurt. So I didn't tie it into the Iximal until about 8 hours later. I put some more on, and within half an hour, I had the same thing. All of a sudden, I was just covered with chills. So I wasn't able to get any, and it never did help, and I stopped using it. But that stuff is, it smells like road tar because it has that sulfur in it.
Well,
oh my
Iximal
God, it was like...
has been around for a very, very, very long time. When I was a kid, Iximal, I mean, you know, it was always in our medicine cabinet when I was a kid, Iximal. It's been around forever. It will even pull, you know, like slivers out and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But it is very toxic, very toxic.
Do you remember the Two Feathers product that we sold at Hippocrates?
Yes.
Did that have Iximal in it, or is that a completely – because I know that that was Indian herb salve that made that, but and that was very powerful as a drug. It would actually pull tumors out of the body.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Two Feathers, Monica?
No, never heard of it. It probably had, was it a black color?
No,
well,
I don't think so, but it did smell a little bit licorice-y, like
Iximal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very powerful, and it was an Indian, an American Indian, not Asian Indian, it was an American Indian remedy. It was called Two Feathers, and I think they still sell it to this day. But at any rate, but it was so powerful at extracting malignancies from the body that if you put it on the skin over a tumor, but you were also simultaneously eating a lifestyle that didn't, like you changed your diet, changed things that weren't nourishing the tumor anymore, it would actually extract it through the front of the body. And you would just see the body open up, and this it would take weeks, and then this tumor would just literally fall out of the body. It would detach. It would die off, and it would just protrude out of the body. It was painful, but it would work without surgery.
Very, very painful.
Wow.
Anna Maria would only give it to people that she thought could handle it, because and often they would get ill along with it. They would get feeling weak and sick because it was kind of,
radic.
To use this word, but it was kind of voodoo-ish. I watched a man who had a tumor on the side of his neck, like right in the crook of his neck, that looked like, this is going to sound like I'm trying to be amusing, I'm not, this is the truth, it looked like he was growing a second head. And I watched it, of the program, and two feathers literally fall off in pieces. Fall off in pieces. He had no surgery, had no chemotherapy, had no radiation, nothing. He purely and simply used the program and two feathers. So as you can see, the institute that we worked at taught us a lot, and Anna Maria is this amazing woman who worked as a nurse in a natural clinic in Sweden when she was like 13 and 14 years old. So she has a myriad of things that she believes in. And through all of that, Brian, the director of the Institute, has helped design and formulate supplements. Very much like what you're doing, but of course on a much bigger scale, because he brought in companies and things like that to produce everything and manufacture. But he's had a say in many of the supplements that they use. And many of them are amazing. And you can only say that if you see the miracles, because just to say something is going to work because you use it once and it works doesn't give it a whole lot of credence. But we saw many, many miracles. Someone asked me the other day, who believes in veganism and believes in the benefits of changing your diet and giving up meat, et cetera, and whole milk and sugar and all those kind of things. But they said to me, you know, according to the doctors, and this is in some very, very important, I'm not going to mention all the names, but important educational facilities where they are still moving forward with what is best for us, there is no proof that raw food stays enzymatic once you digest it. And I said, but that's the whole point. It's supposed to, I had this argument the other day because I so believe in it. I said, if it's alive, it's still moving. It's still getting its own way through your digestive system. That's the whole idea. And it leaves the minerals and the everything you need to take from it, and the rest goes to waste. But your body doesn't have to do all that. And they said, but your body does it anyway. And I said, so all the better. But I don't understand why that's so hard to explain or understand. So we're out of time, but I love this. I hope you'll join us again Wednesday, and you and I will talk privately about some other things, and I will ask Shell if she's got any ideas that she'd really like to discuss again. But I think this particular topic about helping with infection makes people go blind, kills people. Infection is a very, very, very serious issue. And if somebody's already, their immune system is already in trouble because of another illness, infection is detrimental. So I love everything you said today. I so appreciate it. And I will be purchasing some Manuka honey immediately. So thanks again. And I loved it. And you and I will talk later about next week's show. Good?
Okay, great. Could I also just mention, if everybody would go to my Start Living Healthy Facebook fan page, they can get a whole lot more information.
Will you post that to my page, and I'll share it with everybody? You post it, I'll share it. Shelley will share it. We'll all share it. So we'll get around as quickly as we can get it around.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks, girls, so much. Everybody have a great day, and everybody out there, try to stay warm and dry today. And if you're up where Monica is, stay out of the snow. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Hello.